The following may contain offensive language, adult humor, and/or content that some viewers may find offensive. The views and opinions expressed by any one speaker does not explicitly or necessarily reflect or represent those of Mark Rattledge or W2M Network. Please listen with caution, or don't listen at all. What keeps you up at night, Ronnie Adams? Hello.
You.
I do keep you up at night. Welcome to, welcome to the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network's The Whiskey Rebellion. And I am said Rattledge and the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. Mr. Mark Rattledge, your mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. And over there is one of my many hetero life mates and brother from another mother's and a really cool fruit who really knows where his towel's at. Ladies, he's your dungeon master. He will keep you in the basement on his spanking benches and St. Andrew's crosses. That's the kind of dungeon master you are, right? Ronnie Adams?
No.
Right, Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast?
Formerly of the Screaming Boy podcast.
How many errors can I get in one single introduction?
Formerly of anything productive.
So, Ronnie, tell us about how you're hosting BDSM night here at the...
I'm not hosting BDSM anything.
Oh, no? Yeah, that's not you?
No, that's not me. You know what kind of dungeon master I am.
Why don't you tell the people what kind of dungeon master you are, you kinky thing, you?
I am I'm dungeon master and game master extraordinaire for Misfits and Miscreants. I lead games of Dungeons & Dragons and other TTRPGs, which means tabletop role-playing games.
Fantastic.
That's the kind of dungeon master I am.
Love it. All right. Well, the whole reason for the season tonight, the reason why we are here is because Ronnie passive aggressively made me. No. Ronnie.
True. It's true.
So tomorrow night on Damn You Hollywood at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, myself, Alexis Hainer, Robert Winfrey, and Dorian Price of Freaky Pictures are going to be reviewing Ghostbusters Afterlife. And then Ronnie followed me into the men's room and cornered me in a stall and said, did you know that I was the biggest Ghostbusters fan ever? Did you know that
ever?
Did you know that I wanted to come on Damn You Hollywood and shove Robert and Alexis into the pool and talk Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with you? Did you know that?
Cool being so mid, bro.
These are all inside jokes.
They're inside, yeah. Sorry. Inside.
Anyway, Ronnie said, hey, I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, and I want to talk Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with you. So, Ronnie, what did you think of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
It was awesome. Because I definitely saw it.
You lying sack of shit. Ronnie was going to come on Damn You Hollywood, and then we decided, you know what, better than that, why don't we dedicate an entire hour to the entire Ghostbusters franchise? We've already reviewed Ghostbusters 1 and 2 on Long Road to Ruin. We reviewed Ghostbusters 2016 on Damn You Hollywood when it came out. But we've never really had the sort of open format, magazine show format discussion about what Ghostbusters is. We've touched on it here and there on a podcast here and there. But I really, you know, as a fan of Ghostbusters, I really wanted to get Ronnie in here to talk about like why this is so goddamn popular, because I mentioned this on my TikTok live. I do TikTok live now, Ronnie. Isn't that amazing?
I know. It's crazy.
Mr. Social Media.
Right. I need to get social media tips off of you. And I told my friend Angela I would, especially with TikTok, because I am, incredibly do-less when it comes to making videos for TikTok.
Yeah.
I set out with really good intentions and then it never happens. Thankfully, that's going to change soon. Not by my own power, but, I'll explain that later, but,
I mentioned on my pre-show. I did a pre-show for this podcast tonight. Like, it's like a goddamn sports event.
Bro.
Which, as an aside, I mentioned that to my son, and my son goes, I don't know how well that's going to succeed. You're not a hot woman. I'm like, you're not wrong, Jonas, but I'm trying here. I'm trying.
Your son has the wisdom of a 70-year-old.
He really does. You know, I'm trying to corner the market and social media for old, fat, white guys, and I feel like there's an audience for that. They're patiently waiting for me to take my shirt off. But before I do, we're talking Ghostbusters.
You got it.
We're talking Ghostbusters. First movie came out in 1984. And by God, it was like two SNL guys, Harold Ramis, who was in Stripes with Bill Murray, and future Warden of Oz, Ernie Hudson.
Oh, man.
Rick Moranis, who was at the time, you know, a burgeoning comedian, also known for his Canadian sketch comedy. And who knew that this little rinky-dink, stupid action horror comedy mashup about four guys in
hunting ghosts in New York.
I was gonna say in like the people who kill bugs.
Exterminator.
Thank you. In exterminator jumpsuits and laser guns would be the kind of thing that would be a part of a culture war 50 years later.
Excuse me, they're a proton pack.
So I'll get into my sort of connection to Ghostbusters in just a second. I'm going to admit something controversial. I'm going to be like my son here. I'm going to say something controversial. Fan. This might get me canceled. I think Ghostbusters is fun. I like the movies. I think it's okay. I have no fucking clue why this generated chapters of people who like dress up as the characters, you know, chapters of Ghostbusters, why this has become the cultural phenomenon that it is. So my first question
really
to you.
Surprised. I mean, like,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want you to speak on. Let me bump you the ball and then you spike it on my head. First, how did you come to Ghostbusters, and like, then why do you think it's captured the hearts and minds of people for decades now?
When I was a kid, my dad randomly signed up for HBO, and that's where I first saw it, was on HBO watching with him or somebody. And when I was a kid, it terrified the crap out of me because it's ghosts and, you know.
Sure.
But it was still fun. I mean, there was still enough comedy in it for me to laugh and not understand, like, 90% of the jokes, but still laugh.
Sure, like a ghost giving a guy a blowjob.
Totally. I watched it as an adult. Now, then I went, that's my pearl.
Yeah, yeah, and Roddy's over the painting couch.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, as a kid, I knew it was something dirty, you know, but I didn't realize what was going on.
Did the hard on and him unzipping his pants give it away?
The first part I don't remember, and I still don't remember to this day.
Hey, Ted,
so let's just
his
leave
pants?
That one alone.
It's a xenomorph, remember Aliens? Just a little lower.
Anyway. So, oh my god!
This whole podcast is going to be like this. This is no structure, just us cracking.
No structure, and that's the best ones. And it was just the. As an adult, I can say it's the draw of four average Joes. Well, they're not really that average. They're professors, you know.
Projection.
But then they bring in the average Joe after a while. You know,
it's definitely about like that power fantasy we all have as boys and us projecting ourselves. Like maybe we might not all be an alien from another universe that's invulnerable to everything, but we might be a fat schlub in an exterminator jumpsuit, firing a laser gun,
smart enough to make a proton pack.
Nerd.
Right back at you. But the thing about it is like it's that, like you said, fantasy of an average guy being able to do something fantastic and make a difference in the world and make some money while he's doing it. You know, that's what they were doing it for. They needed money, you know, and then it became into a cash business, you know.
Mike Stelcosta from Red Letter Media was like, Ghostbusters is about three guys who start a business.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. But they found a niche where nobody, you know, they found this the section of a business where nobody had cornered the market, and they cornered the market on it. It just happened to be dealing with ghosts, you know?
Right.
And as a kid, I could say it was just the draw of, like, you know, the Slimer, you know, Slimer. I mean, we named him after that.
Yeah.
But it was just the ghosts and the sci-fi of it all. It was really cool. And you know, to me, I was like, oh, this is great. And as I got older and rewatched it because, you know, you do that with your favorite movies. It just became more. And yeah. I think that's where the fantasy comes in with a lot of people who cosplay as
now, you're like a big convention guy, right? Like this.
I try to be one of two
mm-hmm. lovely, beautiful, vivacious people that I podcast with. Just as nice as the day is long.
Keep going, brother.
Dedicated, wonderful friends. You are one of two of them. Welcome to Passive Aggressive Cast. that go to a lot of conventions. So, like, you see this stuff firsthand.
Yeah, I don't go to as many conventions as I'd like to anymore. But mm-hmm. the one I do go to is here in North Carolina, Raleigh Super, or excuse me, GalaxyCon. It was super fun. And you see all kinds of cosplay, but there's always the chapters of Ghostbusters that show up to these things. I mean, at mm-hmm. Fayetteville Comic Con, Super or GalaxyCon, there was North Carolina Comic Con, Durham Comic Con, all these cons that I've gone to, you know, even out of state, there's always chapters of Ghostbusters that show up, and they have their own names, you know, patched onto their uniforms, and
right, they're not even playing a character, like, right. It'd be like Rattledge, you know, because yeah, I imagine right. that I'm, you know, some Adam's fat middle aged guy running around with a laser gun.
I have proton pack. Now it's Ronnie really getting like, no, you're doing this on purpose. But no, I even have I got a Ghostbusters cosplay ready at one time, and I never really wore it because I'm a giant coward. But but I have the Adams patch, and I have, you know, mm-hmm. the Ghostbusters patches and everything, and
I have to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Conventions are one of the few safe places for nerds, spectrumy people, fantasy fans to go and dress up like children and feel safe about it. Why were you afraid to wear your Ghostbusters cosplay in a place where you'd be safe?
Newbie Congor. That was when I first started.
You didn't know it was a safe place?
Well, I knew, but I also just didn't want to do it.
Okay.
Because I didn't feel like it was up to snuff to everybody else's.
There are 97 people running around these places in Mandalorian armor, by the way.
And there's at least one guy that's running around in Superman pajamas. Like, no joke. Throws the pajamas over a dress shirt or a polo, and everything's sticking out. And he's like, I'm Superman. And I'm like, well, I could have worn mine.
I was going to say, it's funny to hear you like, oh, I didn't have the courage to wear my cosplay. And then you get there and you're like, oh, I would have been fine.
It would have been fine. It would have been great. You know, I even had the whole, I'm forgetting everybody's names because I always do this, but it's Aykroyd's character.
Ray
Spangler. Egon Spangler. Ray. Gosh, see, I get nervous around you, Mark.
That's okay. I give you the vapors. I understand.
Yeah, the vapors. But so I even had that going on where I could roll it down, had the black t-shirt and the cigarette that would hang out of my mouth. Carrying around a Ghostbuster. I had a ghost trap the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it is, I'll do it one day. I've still got the stuff.
You got to send me a picture.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
But the front has to be like way open. Okay. And nothing underneath.
Good night, folks.
People are like, what is with him? Half of the guys I podcast with are conservative and from the West Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio area. This is hilarious to me.
It's so true. It's so true. I developed an eye twitch when I did.
And one guy from the Alabama section of Canada.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I remember developing an iTwitch after Source Material with you and Justin because of all the defense, all the backpedaling I had to do. Wait, I did not say that. it was, you know, you start making your own proton pack, and you know, you get the markers out or whatever, the paint, and you color and you paint and you twist tie and you do all this stuff.
Like people like make mechanical ones. Like obviously they're not proton like accelerators.
Right. They make movie quality props where you flick a switch.
Better than movie quality, because I could almost guarantee you, like, people aren't putting real parts into the ones in the Ghostbusters movies. Like, they ADR a lot of those noises, and it's basically maybe a light metallic box with like lights on it and stuff.
And so they can carry it around all day.
Right. And do multiple takes on scene with this backpack on you. But I've seen people like
covered in sweat.
Yeah,
pulling this 300-pound pack around.
Oh my god!
So they can go,
it is like a real live. It's not a real laser gun, but it's a real live like mechanical thing. That's like it's whirring and it's got like fans in it and stuff. Like people go all out making these proton packs,
and they're amazing and they're mind blowing. And I've got my cardboard cutout that I did with like crayons and
says UPS on the side.
Yeah, UPS on the side and. Does that say fragile? I mean, you know, but
so, why does your proton pack say bark box?
Shut up. But no, it's it's just a phenomenon. And I think a lot of people are in my boat of seeing as a kid, loving the special effects, because they were pretty groundbreaking special effects from 1984.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they weren't like, they didn't create their own via Star Wars or anything.
Right.
But they were good. And for 1984, we'll reiterate that. And then as it goes along, it becomes just like anything else. It becomes to mean more to you. The fantasy of being a normal guy and being able to do fantastic things. It's just like Star Wars. Why is the 501st Legion, you know? Right. Here in North Carolina, it's like, I don't know if they're just in North Carolina, if they're everywhere. People dress up like stormtroopers. People dress up like Death Star officers. Yeah. There's one lady that goes con to con, and she hands out citations from the Empire. She dresses like a Imperial officer. But also she's like a meter maid, and she's like, "Oh, you don't have this on," and she hands you a ticket.
And it does speak to the universality of Ghostbusters, because we're describing it as one of those things that appeals to the niche nerd geek, you know, sci-fi crew. But when you think about what a hit Ghostbusters was, it clearly appealed to average people who don't necessarily enjoy that sort of thing, but found something in Ghostbusters that brought them in. So real quick, sort of shifting into the first movie, it's 1984 and I am 8 years old and I have two friends. They are Ramsey and Pharaoh. Swear to God, those were their real names.
Ramsey and Pharaoh.
And I was more friends with Ramsey than I was Pharaoh. So my dad takes me to go see Ghostbusters. And for him, again, like, I don't even know how much a big SNL fan my dad was, but like, he was familiar enough with Bill Murray. He was familiar enough with Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. You know, I'm sure by that point he had seen, if I got my years right, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis in Stripes. You know, he had seen Bill Murray and Caddyshack. Sure, yeah. You know, so
Caddyshack was even 82.
Yeah. So for my father, he's just going to see the newest like comedy in the theater that might also appeal to his 8-year-old son and his friend with the weirdo name. And so there's no like, oh my God, we're going to see like this event film. You could have replaced this movie at that time with, you know, Scrooged, you know, another Bill Murray movie, or, you know, anything like Dan Aykroyd did at the time, and it would have been the same thing. We were going to see whatever the new fun comedy was in the theater. We got there a little late, and my dad's paying for the tickets, and me and Pharaoh don't even care. We're like, we got to go see this movie, see? You know, yeah. we've seen the commercials on the telly.
And yeah.
We got to go, Dad. You'll catch up with us.
Sorry, were you raised in Britain?
Yes. Me and my family that were raised in Oxford.
So that accent, yeah, I get it.
So Ramsey and I walk ahead of my dad. We go into the theater, and it's two big swinging like barn doors. And as soon as we walk in, the library ghost comes at us. So if you remember the scene, yeah,
that would have made me pee my pants.
Yeah. So imagine, and maybe if you haven't seen Ghostbusters or you don't remember it because you're like a person with a job, there's a scene where we have a big audience of different people. So understood. This is the newest thing, Ronnie. I have to talk now for our audience. I can't just babble anymore, like to my friend and like no one's listening. So the scene is Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis are investigating the possibility of a haunted library, and they go into the bowels of the New York City Library, and there's a ghost librarian organizing books. And like, it's a long played out scene, but the part that we walked in on was right as Bill Murray is telling Ray, "Okay, Ray, get her." And the ghost, not wanting to be got, because even back then you can't sexually assault the ghost. You know, he was telling a man to go get a woman. You can't do that, Ronnie. It's not in the year of our Lord in 1984. So go ahead and say, "Get your politics out of my Ghostbusters." I dare you.
Get your politics out of my life.
So Bill Murray says to Ray, "Get her." And the ghost goes, "Rah!" And you know, they film the ghost coming right at the camera.
It's a beautiful shot.
It's an amazing shot.
Yeah.
It's so good. And again, you talk about like practical effects and limited use of 1984 CGI. Yeah. It's so good.
So good.
So the ghost
still gives me a little shudder. I'm like,
two 8-year-old kids coming into the door, ghosts coming at them. We ran. There's a Mark and Ramsey size hole in the wall as we go running out of the theater. And my father's like, "What are you two idiots doing?" Like, really, get over here. Let's go.
Have seen the TikToks of your father. I believe he really said idiots.
I almost guarantee it. You know, and then he said, "You're not going to make me miss another movie like you did Empire Strikes Back, you little pansy. Let's go." People wonder why I'm the way that I am. So anyway, so we watched Ghostbusters. And I remember as a kid, I loved it. But again, I'm an 8-year-old kid. And an 8-year-old kid is watching four guys that look like my dad and his cousins run around the city with laser guns shooting ghosts.
Which one's your dad?
Oh, which one's my dad? Oh, he's definitely Egon.
Egon, he is, yeah.
He is Egon with a porn addiction.
Oh, no.
Hi, Dad. Anyway.
Hey, Mr.
Things you learn about me through a podcast.
So, like, in 1984, growing up in West Virginia, I got my best friends, Hezekiah and Bubba Ray.
What are you trying to top me?
So we were going to go to the moving picture show, but we were supposed to get Gone with the Wind in 1984, but it just didn't, it took too long to get there. No, I'm kidding.
Where's he going with this? Anyway, I love Ghostbusters. Was it after Ghostbusters 2 or the original Ghostbusters that the cartoon came out?
After the original, yeah. It was, Ghostbusters 2 was 1986 or 7?
I'll tell you in a second. So the films, Ghostbusters 2 is 1989.
89 is even later than I thought.
Yeah, Ghostbusters 2 was released June 16th, 1989.
Yeah.
And the animated cartoon, the real Ghostbusters,
was 86.
It was 1986 to 1991.
And I forgot it ran that long.
And so, like, if you're wondering how to get kids, into your IP, I think Robert and I talked about this with something else. Like, you gotta put something out there for the kids to digest while you're gearing up for the next movie.
Absolutely.
The animated show. See, like, because again, Ghostbusters features a ghost giving a guy a blowjob, and mentioned in this curse words in it. People are being called dickless and whatnot. This man has no dick. Yeah. This is a great line.
But they're quoting Revelation and doing all these, you know,
right,
crazy stuff. That,
but that's the thing. It's like, okay, so it's clearly like it's meant for an adult audience, but kids can enjoy it too. And then they go, hey, wait a minute. Kids saw this movie. Kids saw the movie of the ghost giving a blowjob. We need to make toys for this and a cartoon.
Can we move on from that, Mark?
Absolutely not. So they make the cartoon, and young Mark, young Ramsey, young Pharaoh, young Ronnie, we're all like, yay, a Ghostbusters cartoon. I love that cartoon as a kid. Like the theme song to it, them like dancing in the street with their long ass, you know, legs that were longer than the rest of their whole body.
What was up with that? That freaked me out.
It was a weird anime. Why is Egon got a blonde mullet? I don't understand.
Right. Like he's got like a, like the.
Yeah, like you can see in the graphic I posted.
Where is it? Right there.
Yeah. But they also made toys. Like I remember having an Ecto-1. Oh,
the toys were fantastic. The toilet that ate people. You know, I mean, seriously, the toys were amazing. And they had the huge, all you had, it's 1980s toys, you know, personified, because you thought it was so awesome that the proton pack had a swirly stick that you twisted.
Right.
And it didn't do anything, but by golly, you had a beam coming out of that gun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but you're exactly right, because they had a blockbuster film. They had a movie that everybody loved and everybody wanted to go see. And you're years away from making another one. So how can you capitalize on more money and to keep your franchise alive?
Right.
I mean, look at all the 80s movies that did that. I mean, or 80s action franchises that did that.
Mr. T had a cartoon.
Mr. T had a cartoon. Rambo had a cartoon. Chuck Norris and his Karate Commandos, man.
Pro Wrestling had a cartoon.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. I mean, It's just, oh. So you went for the easy money, and you're just like, okay, here's kids. Now here are toys. Because even He-Man started out as a toy line.
Right.
They're like, well, how do we promote this toy line? Somebody get us a cartoon now.
Right.
And you know, so you keep your franchise alive. You get people like me interested in it that grow up with that, and then you get the second film, which was good.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, and then you know it'll keep it alive forever, and we've seen that evidence that it keeps it alive forever.
It definitely created two waves. I talked about this when we reviewed Afterlife, and I think I put the TikTok the edit of the clip on TikTok about like how you develop two generations of fans. Because like I said, I'm 8 when the first one comes out, and Robert and Alexis, who are about 10 years younger than me, were both like, well, we obviously didn't see the movie in theaters. So, but we did see the cartoon. And then we were old enough to have seen the second movie. And by that point, Ghostbusters is a firmly entrenched part of American culture. Everyone knows the song. Like it was funny. I joked in, you know, as I promoted the podcast tonight, I was like, you know, tune in 9 o'clock Ghostbusters, all things Ghostbusters discussion, because Bustin makes us feel good.
Yeah.
Everybody know, they might not remember who the fuck Ray Parker Jr. is, but they know Ghostbusters. They know that song.
That's his name. See, I forgot that. It's exactly right.
Billy Dee Williams. No, that's Lando.
Lando. Who I saw at
Carl
Weathers last year. Oh, Carl Weathers.
Action Jackson, who just died. Carl Weathers? No. Ray Parker Jr. Bobby Brown? No.
Bobby Brown. It was Bobby Brown.
But who Bobby actually Brown's in the did, next one, though.
He's in the next one. Yep. But you, I mean, you look at, oh my gosh, everything that they did with that. Can we talk a little bit about the Ghostbusters and the real Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I'm glad you did. Because I can't remember which procedure.
No, Patrick. We don't mean On Our Own by Bobby Brown, which was terrible.
Hi, Pat. Glad you're watching. Friend of the show, Pat Mullen. That'll be on a triple feature soon where we discuss his favorite Schools in Crisis movies. The fun ones, where he gets to push me in the pool this time. And Ronnie gets to point and laugh. Anyway. Okay, so which came first, chicken or the egg? The real Ghostbusters or the Ghostbusters show? Which, for those that don't remember, the Ghostbusters was a chimpanzee with a vacuum, and I think like two other guys.
What the crap was that?
and they ran around chasing ghosts. So they had to differentiate between that Ghostbusters cartoon show for children and this Ghostbusters. So they called it the real Ghostbusters. Like, how much of the history do you remember of that?
The real Ghostbusters, they had to change their name to the real Ghostbusters because,
right,
you know, they were going to do a lawsuit or whatever. Well, Ghostbusters was completely different. It was in 1975 that this cartoon was on. And it was, they were detectives.
Did they bring it back then when we were kids? Because I don't remember it from 75. Mm-hmm. But I think they talked about this on Half in the Bag, that like there was a Ghostbusters that was very similar to that cartoon, if not the same thing. That was like a black and white movie.
Exactly. They brought it back, I think, was they were investigators. They were investigators, not busters. Like, they didn't go knowing. They had to, you know, suss it out or whatever.
They were ghost hunters. They were ghost chasers.
They were ghost hunters. but they had the name Ghostbusters, but it was two separate words. You put them together and you don't have, you know, you're not stealing IP.
Mm-hmm.
So they were more slapstick, funny, fall down, Hanna-Barbera type stuff. It was Filmation, but it was more like that, in that vein, you know? J. Michael Straczynski wrote the good old Ghostbusters series, including my favorite. Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? I forgot about that. No One Comes to Lupusville. Wow.
I once saw No One Comes to Lupusville open up for Metallica in 1989 at the Nassau Coliseum.
Sorry, for those, if you didn't see it, if you're just listening, Patrick chimed in with that. J. Michael Straczynski, who is a famous author, a writer of a lot of stuff, he wrote a lot of Spider-Man books, is where I know him from. He wrote a lot of the real Ghostbusters, including Pat's favorite, No One Goes to Lupusville.
No One Comes to Lupusville, yeah.
Comes to Lupusville.
All right, so the Ghostbusters versus the real Ghostbusters. Keep going.
But the whole premise was they were detectives. There was Kong.
More Scooby-Doo than it was what we know to be
Ghostbusters. Yeah, Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
So it was Kong, who was the leader of the trio, with Spencer and his partner, and Tracy, a gorilla.
Right.
Their assistant, who also drove their barely functional jalopy. They had a rundown office building in an unspecified city, and outside of normal office equipment, plus a large armoire of which Tracy hung numerous hats, including his trademark beanie with propeller. The office itself was also dilapidated, peeling wallpaper and a payphone near a door as the Ghostbusters' only means of communicating with prospective clients.
Okay, in fairness, there's a lot of cribbing from that in this movie, which I don't remember. In the documentary series on Netflix, for those of you that are into this sort of thing, there's a series called The Movies That Made Us, and they did an episode on Ghostbusters, which, I mean, it's funny how things work out, because I remember in the documentary series they talked about Ghostbusters almost didn't get made. And then it had nothing but problems along the way, including almost a forced title change a la Back to the Future. And when this thing finally hit theaters, they were like, well, this is either going to make a shit ton of money or we're going out of business because we put so much into this in pre-production.
But the thing about it is they didn't really fight just ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the Ghostbusters show.
Not the real Ghostbusters. They had villains such as Dr. Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster, a mummy, the Red Baron, the Canterville Ghost, Count Dracula, Billy the Kid, Belle Starr, the captain and the first mate of the Flying Dutchman, things like that.
Right.
It was like you said, it's more Scooby-Doo, you know, and they never took the mask off and I'll get you, you meddling kids, or anything like that. But it was,
and I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you, kids.
But if it wasn't for you, hobos and a monkey, you know.
That's the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, that's very true. But there are some similarities.
Yeah.
But there's enough differences to say this is way, way, way different.
Yeah.
The only thing that's the same, really the same, is the name. But, I mean, they were smart. They made it one word. We're the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And then when they re-released the Ghostbusters, I remember because I got so excited because I saw Ghostbusters toys on TV, and they showed a freaking gorilla.
With a vacuum.
And a jalopy.
Because that's how they
vacuum,
call it.
With a vacuum. And I'm like,
vacuum.
That's not the Ghostbusters. Could you get the crap out of here?
Could you be one? Could you imagine being one of those kids? Like right, we're gonna play Ghostbusters, and everyone's got a black backpack and a laser gun, and you're the one kid that shows up with a vacuum.
With a vacuum and a monkey and a gorilla mask.
Yeah, and it's just like, what are you doing here?
I mean, I got beat up enough as a kid. I didn't need that.
Hey, this is real Ghostbuster territory, but I like the Ghostbusters. Get out of here, kid.
And they just start hitting me with their proton pack wands.
So the real Ghostbusters cartoon, aside from, you know, Egon's weird hair, was really great because the structure of the cartoon was it held on to that. It was
a monster of the week.
Yeah, it held on to it was juvenile. It was definitely directed towards kids, but it definitely held on to that science fiction element that we all liked about Ghostbusters.
Absolutely.
And then, and I'll get into this more tomorrow night when we talk about Frozen Empire, it had a Ghost of the Week structure to it.
Yep.
And it was always, I'm going to beat this to death in every podcast that I can. The art of science fiction is the ability to solve problems and move the narrative using science. That's what separates science fiction from fantasy and what separates it from action.
Now, there is a science fantasy.
Yes.
As sure. Well.
As space fantasy, etc.
Space fantasy, yeah.
But that's why Ghostbusters gets labeled as in part science fiction. When you think about every problem the Ghostbusters have, it is a matter of not strength, not skill, not talent, but rather problem-solving abilities using their natural God-given intelligence. You know, how we want to capture ghosts. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we have to use science to invent a technology in order to do that.
Right. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah,
because
everyone's like you know, we throw, especially with the advent of Please Don't Spaz. The Big Bang Theory is that you assume being a dork or being a geek is one thing.
Oh, yeah,
and it's like,
spaz.
Because every time I bring up The Big Bang Theory, somebody has an attack.
I love that show.
Oh, thank God. But it's to some, they've called it like nerd blackface because it's like it gives the wrong impression of what, you know, our contingent is. But like, if you have to, and again, I got to beat this subject into the ground. What people have to remember is what the attraction is, our innate love of things that are science, things right. That are technology. We like that stuff. Like if David Wright were here, he'd go on a 20-minute lecture about how he likes the jets in Top Gun or the spaceships in Star Trek.
Right.
We like the proton pack.
Do you know how many times as a kid I sat and thought of how I could make a real lightsaber?
No, God, we've all gone through that. And then we went on dates, but we did it at one time.
I'm still waiting on that one. But no.
All right. For Pat's sake, I don't know what he's talking about Arsenio Hall, but I'm going to keep putting
Patrick,
this comment up.
You think everything sucks.
Oh, my God. Stop bullying everybody. Anyway, so I want to move on from the cartoon, but I did want to bring that up. Like, that's what captured the imagination of kids and what kept the IP alive in the zeitgeist. So then, you know, in 1989, I think we said, is Ghostbusters 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
I like Ghostbusters 2. I like that they made New York City. I think I said this on Long Road to Ruin at the time. They made New York City a character in the movie.
Absolutely.
And again, if you've ever lived in New York City, and I didn't live there necessarily, but I'm talking about Arsenio because he voiced Winston in the cartoon. Okay, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Anyway, I've lived in New York, and I've told the story about how like I knew I had to get out of there because politics aside, my particular opinions aside, when I started, you just called me a troglodyte. When I started seeing people spray painting Bush and the S was a swastika. Look, I'm not going to say good, bad, or indifferent what you think about George W. Bush, but not a Nazi. Unnecessary to make the S a swastika. I feel like that undermines what the Nazis actually did.
Let's calm down a little bit on this. Yeah.
If we could just have a civil discussion about the Bush administration versus Nazi Germany, that would
be
great.
You, sir, are asking for far too much for a civil conversation.
I understand. I expect way too much of people. Anyway, I knew I had to get the fuck out of that city. But even like in 1989, there was this recognition of New York City can sometimes be like the city at the edge of the universe where all things go to die. It can be angry and frustrating. I mean, like And they took that, the essence of that idea, and decided, well, let's make that ooze and make that ooze a ghost. Right. And there's so many fucking funny lines in Ghostbusters too. And of course, because I'm me, you know, one of my favorite lines is, why am I drippings with goo?
Yes. Yeah.
Which, given the last 2 to 3 years, is something I've said a lot. What?
Moving on.
If I can see the math going in your head.
Bro, you don't know what was going on in there. But no, he was probably the best part about they love Jackie Wilson.
The comedian that plays what's his face? No, I'm thinking Vigo, 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 you've been a bad monkey, which is also a line I like to say a lot. I have said that at work. I have said that to my children.
It's Peter McNichol.
Yeah.
Who's
Janish?
Janish. It just finally came up.
He has the best line. Like, every line of his is fucking golden in Ghostbusters 2. Why am I drippings with goo? Ooh, but I wooed. When he wakes the baby up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dude, him walking through. So the whole thing with Ghostbusters 2 is that Sigourney Weaver, the vivacious action hero heroine extraordinaire, Sigourney Weaver, for those of you who think there were no lady action heroes before Captain Marvel, fucking Brie Larson. Sigourney Weaver. She works in a painting restoration area of, I believe it's the Met. And Peter McNichol is just walking through as everyone's doing restorations on different paintings. And he walks up to one. He's like, just very nonchalantly, everything you were doing is terrible. Yeah. doesn't tell about him fix it. Just keeps on going. Just I have to wonder how much of that was ad lib. Like,
I guarantee you 75% of his stuff was ad lib. He was just too good in that role, man.
Pat wants to know, better Peter McNichol, Ghostbusters 2 or Dracula Dead and Loving It? Tough fucking call, but I'm gonna go beat Ghostbusters 2.
I'm going to go Ghostbusters 2 as well.
Yeah.
I was not a huge fan of Dracula Dead and Loving It. I felt that...
that's downside Mel Brooks.
That's when Mel... Like, that is way down the hill that Mel Brooks dropped.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of... And New York is such an angry place. It produces a toxic ooze that makes ghosts.
Right. This angry spirit catches on to...
Right.
The angry spirit of New York and becomes a toxic ooze.
Yeah.
Brings
Peter McNichol's shit is so fucking funny. I think Ghostbusters 2 gets a bad rap for not being Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, like, I joke around and say, it was okay. Now, it was good. There are things in it that I'm like, I didn't care for.
It's more juvenile than the first one. Nobody gets a blowjob in this movie. What? I am facts. I am facts.
You are. There are facts.
I think what I'm trying to allude to is it's a more juvenile, more family-centered movie. And I think people got annoyed with that.
There are things in this house that I'm going to sell just for a plane ticket down to Florida so I can hug you.
Okay.
I feel like I just want to just like, it's okay. Stop worrying about that part in Ghostbusters.
No. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying? Like, I think people wanted that more sort of naughtiness of the first movie.
Yeah.
And they don't get it in the second one. Instead, they get a family movie. And you're like, that's not what I want.
To go back to that. Because you've got the real Ghostbusters, and it's still on TV. And you're like, mommy, 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 I want to go see Ghostbusters in the movies. Because I like, that's my favorite cartoon. And then all of a sudden, you've got ghost boobies everywhere or something. And, you know,
could you imagine this? Like, look, this is almost porn. What are you doing?
What are you doing? The kids are buying toys, and this is what we give them.
You can't have a ghost orgy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? But I think that's it. And I try to overlook that. You know, it's hard to sometimes, but it's like old Big Bang Theory when they were going through this box and they found the one ring.
Yeah,
that they all had to share, and they were like, "Oh my god, it's the script of Ghostbusters," and they go, "Oh, two," and they throw it out,
right?
And I'm like, you know, an original script of Ghostbusters 2 would still be amazing,
sure.
But you know, I think that's where a lot of people are set. They're like, "Well, it's not it's not, it doesn't live up to the first one in adult content, or, you know, right, in the jokes or stuff, you know, or anything like that. And
I think they also got mildly irritated by the Statue of Liberty, as if like there was a meeting in script writing about like, well, we had at the end of the last one a giant marshmallow man knocking over buildings. Isn't that fantastic? What else is giant that we can have walking around New York City? How about the Statue of Liberty? And it's just like, no, the lowest hanging fruit creatively.
Yeah, but if you want to make New York a character.
Yeah, fair.
You know, you got to go with the lowest hanging fruit, which is Statue of Liberty.
Contextually, because, given they were talking about like, we need the spirit of hope to combat the spirit of despair,
yeah,
and evil and anger. Spirit of anger would be more accurate. Then yeah, the Statue of Liberty, which is the symbol of hope for all of the United States, makes
what is literally sense on the tablet that she's holding.
Right.
What is the quote? You live there.
Give me liberty or give me death? No, give me no. Your, give me your unwashed hobos.
Unwashed men.
Something like that. I've been there, okay? All right, so
you live there, you know it. I'm asking to because I forgot myself. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
I liked my version. Give me your unwashed hobos. And we'll send them to Vietnam and they'll come back.
Give me a daddy hobos. She has a cigar. Give me a daddy hobos.
I'm gonna watch Come Here, You Dirty Hobo after we're done here. But I'm gonna watch it on TikTok Live. Anyway, Ghostbusters 2016.
You're gonna get shut down.
I hope. And I'm taking everyone with me. Ghostbusters 2016, as we start to get towards the end of this hour.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so here is where I have to pick a fight.
This is where you're opening Pandora's box.
Yeah. So again, I'm not one of these people who, I enjoy Ghostbusters, but I don't go to conventions. I don't dress up. I don't imagine I am one. Mm-hmm. I haven't built a proton pack. I enjoy the IP. I enjoy the movie, but I am not one of these religious zealots that thinks you can't do anything else with this goddamn thing lest you anger God. And there's poor Paul Feig, who's just a dainty man, and he wants song and dance in his Ghostbusters movie. He's
standing before the abyss, screaming into it, I want to make a Ghostbusters film.
I want a Ghostbusters musical. That's what I want. Song and dance, everybody. What is life? What is life, Roddy Adams?
No.
The Screaming Boy podcast. Without song and dance that we carry in our hearts.
Listen, you're talking to the dude. I like musicals. I've been in musicals in the past, and, mm-hmm, you know,
conversation. This is the Ghostbusters from 2016, otherwise known as Ghostbusters Answer the Call. It's the all female one with, speaking of mm-hmm, people from SNL, Kristen Wiig,
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh gosh, the blonde that's in everything now.
Kate McKinnon. Yeah, she's actually really good in this.
Oh, Kate McKinnon's the best part of Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
She's good in everything she's in, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, she's phenomenal. But, you should have seen her in Barbie.
I did, and I hate Barbie.
That's me tweaking your nipple there, pal.
I know.
And then who's the actress? Who's the actress that quit fucking Twitter over this?
What's her head? Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones.
Nobody cared when she quit. They were like, "You have Twitter."
Yeah, that was a big who gives a fuck. But still, poor Leslie Jones.
I think myself laughed with that one. I don't know why.
Anyway, so that's what we're talking about now. And for those that don't understand, there was like a big to do over. First, it was like, well, we're gonna make an all female Ghostbusters. And, you know, half the people are like, meh. And then it's being directed by Paul Feig. And people, he made very successful movies. He made Melissa McCarthy a household name. And he's a very talented guy in his milieu. And they handed him the keys of the Ghostbusters, and everyone got even more worried. And then the damn movie came out.
Well, okay, you hand Paul Feig the keys of the Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Keys of the kingdom. I get worried about everything. All right, Taika Waititi the keys to the Marvel Kingdom, and I was like, And I enjoyed Ragnarok. I really did. I thought it was a good movie.
Sure.
And then Love and Thunder came out, and I think
and it made me sad.
It made me so sad. A monkey farting on a snare drum would have been a better time than watching that movie.
Thanks, Airheads.
Yeah,
I got your reference.
Thank you. But they, I like how we both took a drink at the same time.
I swear, I was just thinking that. I was like, that's a good podcast. We're both going to drink at the same time.
At the same time. One of us
talk.
But I came into it with an open mind. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people call bullcrap on me on that. And it's not bullcrap. I wanted it to be good because I'm a Ghostbusters fan.
Right.
And they said, this is not a sequel. This is a reboot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can handle a reboot. And I don't, you know, and Kristen Wiig, I don't care what anybody says, she's funny.
Sure.
She's funny. She does well. Melissa McCarthy was funny at one time, and then she
you may not like everything every four of these actresses have done.
Right.
You may not have liked every single skit they've done on Saturday Night Live, the three of them that were on there.
But they're all talented.
I was going to say, they're all talented actresses. Melissa McCarthy is funny as shit. Like, I was, you know, I like, everyone knows who's seen my podcast, I fucking hated The Little Mermaid. I hated The Little Mermaid. It was one of my top five worst movies of last year. But the positive thing I said about it was, when Melissa McCarthy isn't doing her impression of Divine as Ursula, and she's just being Melissa McCarthy as Ursula, she's great. And she's one of the highlights of that movie, you know, as opposed to Javier Bardem, who was dead the entire time. And they just had his animated corpse read lines.
Melissa McCarthy, to me, went the way of Will Ferrell. She just kept doing the same thing over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And it just got tiring after a while. Now, to see her do different things, like Will Ferrell, I loved, what's the movie where he was the author was narrating his life in his head. I thought that was great because he got to be a little bit serious. Right.
Well, like him, you know? Jim Carrey, again, Melissa McCarthy, these people, Adam Sandler is a great example, again, of somebody who everyone knows him for his comedy and loves him for his comedy, but is a just wonderful dramatic actor.
And again, Rain Over Me is one of my favorite movies to this day.
Melissa McCarthy, for all the shit she got for this movie and for some of the other stuff she's done, is a fantastic actress. But when your stock and trade is like Chevy Chase style physical comedy, where like the whole reason you get cast in 9 out of 10 movies is because you throw your fat ass down a flight of stairs. Well, it's like, you can't pick on the woman for that. She's giving the people what they want.
I'm sorry, because I saw that in my head.
She rolls down a hill and knocks over a village of poor Africans. It's like, what are we doing here?
What the heck? Wow. That, man, you opened the gate on that one.
What?
I went into this with an open mind. I wanted it to be good. And the film just overall sucked. It was just terrible. It wasn't good. Kate McKinnon was good.
Hang on. Let me debate you here. So I took my daughter to go. I took my daughter to go see the 2016 one. And
your daughter is the youngest feminist on earth, though.
Okay, you got a problem with that, buddy? So she's 2011. It's 2016. So she's 5, and she loved the fucking shit out of it. Because think about this, and I want you to draw a parallel in your head. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, as much as we love it, the original 1984 Ghostbusters is not a perfect movie. I said it to Sean at the time when we did Long Road to Ruin.
There was no perfect movie.
I deconstructed that movie like I do everything else. I pointed out the flaws in it and the structure and everything. Mm-hmm. I actually might have even said at the time, structurally, Ghostbusters 2 works better than the original Ghostbusters. And I made my argument then. But we love it because we, as boys, projected ourselves onto the Ghostbusters. Now you're a 5-year-old girl and you see those four women. She's having the same experience, and she doesn't have the critical capacity to deconstruct the fucking movie. You just saw four funny, talented, pretty, badass girls.
Yeah.
Taking down ghosts. So, and that's fine. Of course she loved it.
Yeah, she loved it, of course. That's fine. I don't care. To me, as a Ghostbusters fan, it would have been awesome to see, women taking over the mantle. Because you see a lot of women dressing up as Ghostbusters at conventions and things like that. And I think that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with it. I am, you know me, I'm not a boys club kind of guy. You know, D&D is for everybody. Star Wars is for everybody, whatever, you know, I don't care. I do care about original, you know, don't try to remake the original. Like if they'd done Egon and Rey and everybody as women, I'd been like, nah, this don't work. But they said, no, they're their own characters. This is a reboot. I was like, bet, let's do this. And
I want to jump in here and say, I think they were trying to do their own style of humor. It's like there's stuff to pick at 2016. Don't get me wrong. It's not perfect either. The humor is like the lowest of low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have to wonder if you slap another name on this, if you take the Ghostbusters name off and you put, you know, Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast.
I've done that.
Do people like it more?
I don't like it.
That's fine. But here's the thing. I speak for the trees, right?
Yeah.
I speak to the average ham and egger out there who, one, doesn't have stake in the game, right? They don't have skin in this game. They're going to watch the Ghostbusters 2016 completely devoid of fandom. And so they're just seeing fart jokes and goofy humor and girl stuff and the same joke about Chinese food 20 times in a row. And I'm telling you, there were people who thought that shit was funny. Because I remember talking to people at the time, middle-aged women thought that shit was, for whatever reasons, thought that shit was hysterical.
If you had taken the Ghostbusters franchise, the Ghostbusters name off of it, it would have been more successful.
Agreed.
Than what it is now. Absolutely. I still wouldn't have liked it. It would have been my kind of movie. It wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been whatever. Chris Hemsworth was amazing in it. I thought he was so funny.
Yeah.
He was hysterical. He's got, I mean, I didn't realize he had that good of comedic timing. Like I said, Kate McKinnon was hysterical in it. Just the creepy smiles and all this stuff. I thought she was great. Like I said, I can't stand Leslie Jones, and I didn't even realize she had a Twitter when she left. They made a big deal out of it.
She's funny in the movie too. She just screams all of her lines.
She has I can't handle that.
Can you grant me this? That this is more your opinion than it is objective criticism?
Oh, absolutely. On this part, yes. As far as the special effects, didn't care for them too much. They were good, but they were they were too cartoony for me, you know, as far as, but it's not 1984 or 1989.
I think the plot, it's the strongest plot of the three plot, movies we have up to that point.
I can't agree with you on that one. It was just kind of a rehash for me.
Oh, not at all. I think that's the other thing I think that bothered people, because they made like incels at the time the villain, essentially. They made an avatar for like angry white, you know, fat old white guys, which at the time was very chic to make fun of. And his whole like modus operandi and the reason why he's doing what he's doing and what he wants in the end, that all tracks for me in a way that the stuff with Gozer and the stuff with Viggo doesn't. You know, like Viggo had a little more straightforward plot to, you know, he basically wanted to come out of the painting and come back to life in the world.
You've been a bad monkey.
You've been a bad monkey. But I think the villain from 2016, there's a thicker through thread as to like why he's doing what he's doing and why, you know, and
how I will give you this. Stop him. I would have to watch it again.
Okay.
You know, I'll have to watch it again because it's been a long time since I've seen it.
You know what you can do? You can watch it on TikTok. You can watch it, and people can watch you on TikTok live, and you can react to it live stream, and you can be the whole time, fuck you, Mark, the whole time. Mark,
we both know, and I wish you would quit rubbing my face, that you're more famous than I am on TikTok.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, so we can just move this on and start to wrap. Yeah, Ghostbusters 2016 was a victim of the culture wars. I'm not taking away your right to hate the movie. You can like what you like.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're mid, bro.
Shut up, passive aggressive.
But the thing about this is like, you know, and I don't expect everybody to agree with me on that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Nor do I think I am absolute and right in everything that I say about it. No.
Right.
There are people that enjoy Leslie Jones's comedy. That's fine. They can be wrong if they want to be.
Look, I was in a room full of people that were debating the merits of the entire Tyler Perry catalog.
Some of his stuff is funny. And some of it is not for Ronnie.
I have seen precious little of Tyler Perry stuff. I know some of the Madea stuff, maybe.
I used to watch the TV shows.
See, really?
Meet the Browns and or whatever it's called.
Mm.
And yeah, it was why would I admit that?
That's okay. I used to watch Homeboys from Outer Space. We all have our, you know, our crosses to bear.
And Mama's Family. I like Mama's Family, which is the exact opposite of what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, it suffered. Now, there are idiots out there that started bombing this movie before it even came out.
Sure.
And even if I hate the movie, I think they're stupid. And I think they need whatever accounts they have taken away, and then they are just beaten with a sack full of oranges for being that dumb. But I watched it, open mind, didn't like it, formulated my opinion, and that's that. There are still people to this day that dress up at conventions in that style of Ghostbusters uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They are snubbed at other Ghostbusters. No.
They are beaten with a sack with of quarters. Sacks.
Yeah. Oranges don't leave bruises. What? Mm. What? Who said that?
I've often said that.
No, you see them at Ghostbusters like meetups. They have meetups for all these different fandoms, you know, and they submit them to the con, and they're like, okay, at 2:45, this is a Doctor Who picture, and at 3:15, this is the Star Wars community picture, and Ghostbusters, and you still see people with Kate McKinnon's two pistols, you know, posing and everything else, and that's great, that's fine. I consider it outside of the Ghostbusters universe, unfortunately for me, but it's still there. I mean, it doesn't matter what I think; it's still part of the universe.
All right, and then last thing we're going to talk about before we close out for the night is Ghostbusters Afterlife. We reviewed that when it came out. That was me, Alexis, and Robert. Funny story about that. So I'll tell the story on the air because, you know, Alexis and I have talked about it since then. Okay. I was not in the world's greatest headspace when Afterlife came out. This is the end of 2021. In the next few months, my life is about to take a significantly bad turn. But that's not why I'm telling you the story. But it does contribute in some ways to my headspace at the time. But what was really contributing to my negative headspace was the reaction to Ghostbusters Afterlife. And
really?
There was a very specific reason. What frustrated me about Ghostbusters Afterlife was the patent subservience to member berries. It was very much like they knew they had fucked up with 2016. They were desperate to revive this property because it's a $1 billion property. If they can just get it right, because you have, as we've been talking about all hour, this generations. I mean, we're talking, the movie came out in 84. There are new fans being made of Ghostbusters in the year of our Lord, 2024. Okay. They know that if they can get this right, this franchise will make money forever. They just got
to figure out 24.
Yeah.
40 years, bro.
Yeah, exactly. 40
years.
So, like, the people at Sony are not stupid. Yeah. You know, the people who own the Ghostbusters IP, you know, the Ivan Reitman family, they're not dumb. They know what's up. And so they are desperate to get this thing going. And it's like the reaction to Ghostbusters Answer the Call was essentially, okay, let's not try to do anything new with this. Let's not do anything new. Let's just give the people all the member berries they want, all the nostalgia. And like the Chris Baileys of the world, God bless, I love him like a brother. But, you know, he puts and I think to an extent you too, just from our conversations, a premium on nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. And I don't look back at my childhood and look at things necessarily, Robert would disagree, but with rose-colored glasses. I can deconstruct all the things that I loved and tell you what was wrong with them. Doesn't mean I didn't love them, doesn't mean I still don't love them to a degree, but I'm not going to sit here and praise them like they are religious artifacts the way that some people were reacting to Ghostbusters. And so Ghostbusters Afterlife comes along, and we get Ghost Egon, and we get the crew back together again. And there's some stuff that they do that I think undercuts the movie. And it was too much. But that didn't bother me nearly as much as the reaction of people like Alexis, which was, Ghostbusters Afterlife is the greatest movie of all time because it reminded me of how I felt as a child when I saw it. Okay. That's not a critical movie review. That's just your stupid opinion, which you're entitled to. But it has no place in a discussion of the craft of the fucking movie.
Sorry.
And I was just so fucking... Oh my God. Look, it was between that and then like a year, like last year's Indiana Jones, where I fucking lost my patience with all of you. Like, there is movie craft discussion and there is personal opinion. And I'm trying to gear us towards craft discussion, and I'm getting back like this movie because it makes us feel good. And I'm like, God, that's, I don't care about that. I just don't. And that's where so much of my anger about Afterlife came from. When we actually did the fucking review. And so actually, like, really funny thing about that, I complained about this to Robert, but if you think that had venom in it, you should have seen the shit I said before we started the show that I didn't know Alexis could hear. Cause you know how, cause you know how like in stream art, I have you in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking she can't hear me talk because we're in the box talking before the show goes live, and she's in.
You can hear the show.
Yeah, and she's in the green room essentially of StreamYard, and I'm just like, and fuck Alexis and fuck Chris Bailey and fuck all you people and your stupid nostalgia. I'm so sick of this like adolescent bullshit. And I'm like, all right, let's start the show. And I put Alexis in the box. She's like, should I just go? I'm like, she's like, you know, I could hear all that, right? So you ever see somebody turn into a donkey? Because that's what happened to me. And then I have to like backtrack and be like, no, Alexis, you're such a pretty girl. yeah. Not one of my better moments, admittedly. But
I so get it. Okay, let's look at nostalgia.
For nostalgia.
Ghostbusters Afterlife. Okay, nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. I will pick nostalgia for nostalgia's sake over top of crapping on something just to crap on it. Okay? Every time. Okay. Now, I will admit when something's not good. Mm-hmm. I will. Neither of the films that we mentioned were nostalgia, but we're going to stick with Ghostbusters Afterlife. That were just straight up, they weren't straight up not good movies.
Mm-hmm.
There was good cinematography. There was this. There were so many good points about it that I think that's where I kind of got upset. Of I got the feeling of, well, we're just going to poop on it because people like it because it's nostalgic. You know,
I get that, and I get how sometimes me and Robert can kind of come across that way. But I'm going to say it again. I had plenty of nice things to say about Afterlife. I said them all in the review.
Sure.
My anger was geared towards the inflated view, the inflated opinion of the movie that it was better than it really was simply because it made you feel good.
Everything that I say about Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny and Ghostbusters Afterlife does not come through rose-colored glasses. It's because I legitimately enjoyed it.
That's fair.
Is it elevated a little more because of nostalgia? Yes. I will say that the movie was great when, in fact, the movie was good. The movie was good from a critical standpoint. Mm-hmm. But the movie was great because it made me feel like a kid again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, the Crystal Skull made me want to, like, vomit fire ants on people's faces. this one went back to feeling like an indie movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's actually been
one of the things said about it is Afterlife felt like somebody's indie movie.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So Afterlife, to me, after 2016, I just wanted Ghostbusters again. And that's what I got, you know?
That's fair.
That's what I got with it. And Paul Rudd, I mean, they were just teeing up the next generation, in my opinion. It's just like when you look at The Force Awakens, everybody's like, oh, it's too much like A New Hope. You're like, yeah, because they're teeing up for the next generation to take over. And then it went south.
And then it was a masterpiece with Rian Johnson.
Masterpiece, man. Zach.
Rian Johnson, it's made Star Wars ascendant.
I enjoy it for being a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts in it that are good. The flying nun Leia was just...
Okay, well, even I laughed at that.
Everybody laughed at that.
It's like, well, if there's a scene in Star Wars that ever just takes you out of the movie, it's flying nun Leia.
There's about 75% of me that really thinks that's why Carrie Fisher's no longer with us. She saw that.
It's killed her in a tear.
She just died out of embarrassment.
Carrie, have you seen The Last Jedi? No, I haven't seen. I haven't even seen dailies. You know, I showed up to set. I did my, you know, I did my lines. And
here you are. But here, you
know. and she's watching the whole movie. It's like, oh, you know, Daisy Ridley's really, really good. And oh, isn't he funny? And is that me? Am I flying through space like the flying nun? That's what fucking keels over.
Gosh, man. But you know, that's what I wanted with Afterlife, was just to make me feel like Ghostbusters were back.
Okay.
And I got
you'll
that.
Have to excuse and then me I got I a good you'll movie. Have to excuse me if I don't care about that. And there is the divide between us.
I've never asked you to care mm-hmm. about that.
Right.
I'm just saying, don't kick me in the nuts when I do. but
I will absolutely know, handle your nuts. I will absolutely fondle your nuts with love and care, Ronnie.
That's
I promise.
Mid, bro.
I will never
that's
catch
mid.
You.
Stop being mid.
Look, we can't both be passive aggressive. It's going to get really bad in here.
But it's fun. yeah, Ghostbusters Afterlife. I want to see, which I thought was a silly title.
Well, no, they were resurrecting a dead brand. And oh, by the way, Harold Ramis was dead.
Not Afterlife.
Oh,
the newest one. Frozen
Kingdom
or Empire. I said Frozen Kingdom. What the crap? Frozen Empire. I was like, ooh, that's kind of silly. But I've heard nothing but good things about it, you know. I'm sure I'll be fine when I listen tomorrow night, it'll be different.
All right.
But sorry.
Where we tell you all the reasons why it's
pow. Oh, he's going wow, it's below the belt. 1, 2, 3. But
what do you want to do with Ghostbusters next? Let's end there. They've done Frozen, they've done Afterlife, they resurrected the brand, they made new fans, they made a sequel.
The originals with respect,
yeah,
and move on.
So okay, really you want old ass Dan Aykroyd and who gives a shit Bill Murray and Ernie
all
Hudson
except,
to come back for a third
all
movie?
Except for Ernie Hudson. Ernie Hudson looks like he's 25, and well, the man is 95 years old. tell us why, Mark. Tell us why.
Absolutely not.
But Ernie Hudson looks fantastic.
He really does. He don't look a day over 40.
Right? But and even he could be like their backer, their financial, because he's like freaking stinking.
Also,
I'm
asking, do you want to see a third movie with the cast, with the old cast one more time, and just to say
there's
we're done with this now?
There's as little as possible. I want them to hand the proton packs over.
I don't want to see Bill Murray again. My stance on this is I'm okay with Dan Aykroyd coming back. I'm okay with Ernie Hudson coming back. They actually look like they want to be there. I could give a shit less about. I don't know why they put her in the uniform to begin with, other than nobody thinks about things and they just want to see the old cast in the uniforms. Like when Rick Moranis does.
Did they put her in a uniform?
They gave her a gun. They gave her a goddamn gun.
In Frozen Empire?
Yes.
Oh, well, don't tell me that because I haven't seen it
yet. Oh, sorry. Spoilers. But.
Well, I can't go see it now.
When Rick Moranis does it in the second one, it's funny. Doing it with Annie Potts now it drives me up the wall. So I don't want to see her back. I don't want to see Bill Murray
back.
She
did great in Afterlife. She fulfilled her role perfectly.
Yeah, she was fine then. But
because
like Dan Aykroyd,
she's always in love with Egon. You know.
But somebody made this point. I think it was in Half in the Bag, where Dan Aykroyd genuinely loves like the paranormal.
Oh, he
has a passion for it.
Yeah.
And Ernie Hudson doesn't look like he's about to die. So bring those two back as like the historian and the backer. But yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, focus on the Stranger Things kid. Give Finn Wolfhard something to fucking do in the next movie. God. Sorry, spoilers. But that's what I'd like to see. What else can we do with Ghostbusters at this point? You think a cartoon with this TikTok, YouTube reels? I couldn't be any more older right now. Generation
you
of kids.
Such a grandfather right now.
I am. grim.
I am Mark Radich.
Get off my lawn. I mean, my when my son has free time, he likes to be
on. See this
ball?
It's my ball now.
I'm about to show you my balls.
When
my son has free time, he watches YouTube videos, TikTok, and plays Fortnite. How do you reach him? I mean, I guess maybe throw a Ghostbusters character into Fortnite.
If you do an animated series,
yeah,
you're going to have to gear that animated series towards adults.
Okay.
They're already releasing the super articulated, for adults anyway, action figures that sell out everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing things like that, you know, because they're collectibles. And, you know, when Afterlife came out, and I expect it to happen again this year, Spirit Halloween had working proton packs. And really? When I say working, they made noises. They were about,
and they had it was a particle nuclear accelerator. It was amazing.
And it was crazy.
No. Does that say stamped by NASA on it?
What? Little kid, where? Why do I feel sick, mommy? Keep getting candy, kid.
Did a bomb go off in here? Well, little Timmy, he was having a hard time holding the proton pack. It was weird.
But no, you flip a switch and it powers on.
Yeah.
You know, and it made all the movie noises and everything. It was about 3/4 scale. You know, it was smaller than it needed to be. It was $250 and those things were selling like hotcakes. You know, so you've got all the product out there. You've got the merch.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to find a way to keep it relevant. And I think a animated show or anything like that would be good, but you're going to have to gear it towards adults because kids don't watch cartoons anymore.
No, they don't watch anything for YouTube and TikTok.
Yeah, they watch TikTok and YouTube, which lasts 15 seconds apiece.
In the 100 years I've been podcasting with you, Ronnie, you may not have said anything more brilliant than what you just said, that the market's not with the young kids anymore. The market is with like the 20-year-olds with disposable income that they're going to be the ones that get into that. If they're not into it now, can get into Ghostbusters if you appeal to them by writing a super adult, you know, animated cartoon with hentai tentacles and boobs.
That's I wouldn't go said. That far.
That's what you said.
That's
you said
not you what needed, I said at all.
You said to do a adult hentai Ghostbusters for 20-year-olds.
Thank God this is on the internet because it never dies, and then people really know what I said.
Uh huh. I hope it comes up in job interviews.
It probably will, knowing my luck.
Well, I hope I've ruined your life. I'm
brought in for a review at work tomorrow, and they're going to be like, Ronnie, let's talk about hentai tentacles and boobs. And they're like, oh, Mark Radulich. You know,
that's some Radulich. All right. Well, Ronnie likes hentai tentacles and boobs is the phrase that
oh, my gosh, Mark.
On the Whiskey Rebellion. Hey, Ronnie, this was a great conversation.
Yeah, it really was. I've enjoyed this quite a bit.
Good. Did we excise this demon for you? Did you feel like you got all your Ghostbusters goodness out?
Yeah, because we got to talk about things that we wouldn't normally get to talk about if we talk about the actual movie.
Yeah.
Which was the cartoon and the merch and the cosplays and all that stuff. So I really enjoyed it.
This was an hour and 17-minute, 10-minute segment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite enjoyable. I think my lovely face and my radio, my crisp radio voice will bring you lots of listens and views. Sure. But yeah, right. I can see him dropping right now. but no, it's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate this, Mark. This has been
great.
One of the more enjoyable shows that I've done in a long time.
Yeah, this is one of the best ones you and I have done for certain. Yeah. So hopefully we get to do it again soon. You'll harass me about something, and I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll dedicate an entire hour to only you, Ronnie. Only you.
You. What about Roadhouse? No, I'm kidding.
Please don't.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right. So that
body
is...
Body blow.
That is our discussion of all things Ghostbusters. Ronnie Adams, tell the women that are watching this podcast where they can find your dungeon that you dungeon master.
I will soon... actually, I have really cool news. I now have a team backing my streams. They are standing behind me, not as I speak, obviously.
They're back in my ghost people.
And they're just coming in like, but no, it is, I, have some dear friends that are, you know, some people that I love dearly. They are helping me manage my stream. And we have a soft date of the end of April that we're going to start producing content, and it's going to be tabletop role-playing games. And it's going to be also Magic the Gathering cards. The card game. Cause we all enjoy that. And I now have a social media manager who's going to do a much better job than I have at social media. It's really exciting because there are a lot of cool things that are popping up for me. I was recently at a convention called Mythicon.
You muted.
Oh, sorry. I was at Mythicon in Asheville, North Carolina, and got a little bit of recognition there. And from there, it's kind of taken off that we're going to start this stream. And we're going to do an actual play campaign. We have several legs of this planned out, if not on paper, but in mind, that will be later put to paper or digital or whatever we want to use at that point. Misfits and Miscreants is coming back to live streaming very soon. We'll be playing, we'll have a podcast, we'll have an actual play podcast, we'll have an actual play stream. Amongst other content such as Ask a DM a Question, or we'll be reviewing character builds or the newest books or the newest magic set that's out, or help, you know, build a deck or just take questions that, you know, people want to ask and expound upon that and try to give the best tips that we can. It's going to be a lot of fun. In fact, Angel is texting me now. Oh my goodness, that was really funny.
Did you rebroadcast this tonight on Twitch?
Huh?
Did you rebroadcast this tonight on your Twitch?
I should have, yes. It should automatically pop up.
Okay.
If not, sorry.
It's okay. I'm glad that everyone's got likes to tell me how to do this, but nobody helps me actually do it. Sorry, I'm being an ass.
Yeah, you are. I'm sorry. You pick on the one guy that comes up. Hey, what do you need me to do? And you're like, nothing. Everybody else is doing it for me. Yeah. I don't know why you turned into a carny all of a sudden. Step up, kid. Yeah. But no, it's gonna be a lot of fun. So big shout out to Angela, who got the whole thing kicked off, and Ray and Heather and Christy. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for everybody to see it. So just stay, if you haven't liked us or whatever on Twitch on Misfits and Miscreants, please do that. We're going to have some stuff coming out, some teasers and things like that coming up. And it's really, it's we got, the sponsor, Multiverse of Burlington, it's just a store of wonders in there. In fact, we unboxed, I stopped by today to say hi. Because I also, you know, I have a side gig there, and I'm a DM there for them. They unboxed two helmets of the Witch King and Sauron.
Oh, that's cool.
Really? And you can wear them, you know, that's they awesome. Have Funko Pops and trading card games from the 90s, Austin Powers and Highlander and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all these cards that I just bought two decks of Buffy the Vampire Slayer to see who I got, because I love that show. I still do. So it's a really, really cool shop. So if you're in the Burlington area or, you know, in the Triad area, come by. You'll love it. But anyway, hey, plugs. We're on Instagram and TikTok as Misfits and Miscreants. And also you can like our page, which we'll be updating as well, on Facebook.
And for you ladies, if you would like some live dungeon mastering, he'll be at the Woodshed in Orlando.
I know for a fact, just because you spit it out so quick, that the Woodshed is a real place.
Yep.
Yeah, I knew it. Yep. I knew it. I will not be there. I live in North Carolina, and there's no
but
way
he,
like
he will come down.
We are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we all go to church and don't think about things like that here.
Check out Ronnie every other weekend in Orlando at the Woodshed for live dungeon mastering.
You'll be really disappointed when I break out the dice in the dungeon master screen. and the little miniatures were like, let's play.
Girl's just like, I hear you're a live dungeon master. How much flogging have you done? Well, there was this one campaign.
There was this one campaign where all these gnolls attacked this halfling village. And like,
and they all had floggers.
Yeah. And they just started beating the halflings. They're like, oh, I know what you mean by that. I don't think you do, lady.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you do. Right. But yeah, that's me. That's where I am. That's where my these folks are that are that are wonderful. And they,
tomorrow on Damn You Hollywood. Gotta cut you. Get the cook. Tomorrow on Damn You Hollywood, 9 o'clock yet again. Myself, Robert Winfrey, Alexis Haina of Honeysuckle Rose Creations. For those of you who like jewelry made out of game pieces, shut up, Ronnie.
No, just the way you said it. I was like, man.
And Dorian Price, director extraordinaire of Freaky Pictures. We will be talking in vascular detail Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And then on Wednesday, Alexis Haina is heading up a Damn You Hollywood all her own. It's, you know, it's like when Sam was going to leave Cheers to Kirstie Alley. She's going to be, was it Live and Let Die? Or what is it? Let the Devil Know? What is this fucking movie they're doing?
What are you even talking about right now?
Some movie. God damn it, Ronnie. Someone's supposed to back me up when I babble like that. Late Night with the Devil.
That's the name of the movie. Devil. I mean, like, you're like Devil May Cry, Devil in a Blue Dress. I don't know.
The Devil. Oh, they're about the Devil. Yeah. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man. Anyway, yes, Late Night with the Devil is what they're reviewing. I will be elsewhere. I'll be on a hot
day. I need to see that though, man.
But she'll be running the podcast with Robert, Jason, and Dorian. And then on Thursday,
the brakes will be on fire and the passengers will be screaming.
Speaking of screaming passengers, on Thursday is a on trial civil court edition. We will be comparing and contrasting, and I will be hard drinking as we discuss Roadhouse 1989 versus the current Roadhouse on Amazon Prime, starring starring Jake Gyllenhaal and everyone's favorite leprechaun, Conor McGregor.
So, who's much bigger than I thought he would be.
It's so funny. Like, he fights at like fucking featherweight. He's taller than Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's true.
Who apparently is Tom Cruise sized. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was a lot taller. Yeah. Anyway, all right, folks.
Tom Cruise is like 3'2".
Thank you. Yeah, he knows. All right, thank you for joining us here on the Whiskey Rebellion. He's going to be at the woodshed for all of your dungeon mastering pleasures. Nope. That's Ronnie Adams. And I'm
multiverse.
Going to be very passive aggressive. Be well, be safe, and behave.
And don't be...